Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
We are concerned about morality. We are concerned about truth and the will of God as revealed in the Bible. And my dear friend, it is not too much to say, and I shall emphasize throughout, that the very authority of God over man is under attack by our public school system in Warren County. And I realize the seriousness of that accusation, and I make it because it is serious. This book that is entitled Reading and Writing Process is a book that contains a number of essays. Essays that are allegedly there to teach effective reading and writing to the students. These essays are on a wide variety of topics. I have read the book. That the book contains some useful material in teaching reading and writing effectively is not the issue. We all have readily admitted that there is useful material in it. But it also contains profanity and vulgarity and immorality and impiety on an acceptable level. It should be very obvious to you that I certainly cannot, would not, will not read aloud the objectionable phrases that are found in this publication. Even most of the defenders, not all, most of the defenders of the book readily agree and accept the fact that it does contain these objectionable elements. It doesn't seem to affect them enough. They don't seem to particularly care that it does. But there is no question in the minds of most who defend the book that these things are contained in the book. So we know what the book contains. My first item of interest tonight is the position that the Christian should take. Because the Christian is to be governed by the teaching of Jesus Christ in everything that he does and in every realm of life. And I would first cite to you a passage of Scripture from the inspired psalmist, Psalms 34 and verse 13, that teaches us, "Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile." I cite to you from the New Testament, from the Epistle to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, where the Apostle Paul has said, "Let no corrupt communication or speech proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Also in this book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 11, we have the instruction, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." How different from some who, upon reading the profanities and the vulgarities of this book, approve them. But the Holy Spirit, through Paul, said, "Rather reprove them." Now, my dear friend, I'm just going to read those three. There are others. Brother Lance has read another a few moments ago from James 1. The Christian disciplines his speech. He doesn't just say anything that he wants to. My dear listening friend, that settles the matter for a person who claims to be a Christian. There is no further discussion needed for a person who claims to be a Christian. That's the bottom line for a person who claims to be a Christian. That ends it. How can one who claims to be a Christian come on Lord's Day, as we have today, and sing, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," and then tomorrow go to the classroom or go to the office or go before a board or go before the public approving and endorsing material that profanes the name of the Lord? That's gross hypocrisy and inconsistency. And we're concerned about that. We're concerned about that because there be a number of members of the Churches of Christ who are in the administration who have approved it, on the board that have approved it, on the committee that has approved it, and I say to you, they brought reproach upon themselves. That's bad enough. They brought reproach upon their position. That's bad enough. They brought reproach upon education generally. That's bad enough. But our concern is they have publicly brought reproach upon the church of our Lord by approving that which profanes the name of our God. They need to repent of it and to confess it and seek God's forgiveness. It is an absolute mental and spiritual impossibility to obey the teachings that I have read to you and claim to be a follower of Christ and then turn around and read and endorse and condone the materials, all the materials that are in this book in question. Now, we have to be realistic. Not everybody cares what the Bible says. Not everybody that even professes to be a Christian really is, according to the teachings of the Bible. There are many religious people who show little to no respect for Bible teaching at all. And many of those who are defending this book, they don't want to hear certainly what I'm saying here tonight. In fact, one whom I invited called to tell me, I don't want to hear what you have to say. You can't help but admire that kind of open-mindedness. But hypocrisy has always plagued the Lord's church. And hypocrisy has always been a weapon of Satan. And my lesson plan tonight is, like any other time that we would come to refute error, is to first present the truth, and this I've already done, and then to look at the arguments of defense of error and expose them, which I now proceed to do. And I want you to know that what I'm going to say tonight is not all, not near all, that can be said justifiably on the subject, but because of the various number of things that have been said in recent days, I can just be able to touch the hem of the garment, and I hope that you will realize that. It is claimed that this book is needed to teach our young. In fact, it's even been claimed that there's nothing else suitable. Now, I personally, and I can speak for myself, and I've been in classrooms many, many years, I'd be ashamed to admit to be a teacher that could not present material to my children and to my students without having to use material that contains vulgarity and profanity. I'd be ashamed to have to even contend that that's the only thing that's suitable. But is that even true? This book was copyrighted in 1989. Was there no competent teachers in how to read and write in Warren County prior to 1989? If this book is essential and the only thing suitable, what about all of those poor, pathetic students who went through the school system prior to that? They really didn't get a good education, evidently, in the minds of some. At this present moment, in other educational systems, they don't use this book. Are they doing an inferior job? There be teachers in other systems, and even in this one, that don't use this book. Are they presenting inadequate education? Furthermore, the State Commission on Textbooks has listed alternatives that do not contain such language as this. Evidently, others don't think that it's absolutely necessary. Friend, the task of the educational system is to educate people. And educated people don't need vulgarity. They don't need profanity to be able to express themselves effectively, either verbally or in writing. You don't have to use that kind of language to get your point across. And there are certain issues that those who defend this book will not, have not, and evidently won't answer. Why can't teachers use clean material? I've asked that publicly of them. I can't get an answer. Why can't they do that? They say they've heard it all, but there's something I haven't heard from them. Why can't teachers use clean material to effectively teach? And I can't hold my breath until I hear from them. There's another unanswered question. Who has commissioned our school teachers to parade the lowest forms of human misbehavior before our young and call it education anyway? They don't deal with that. That is not their task. That's not educating people. Who's commissioned them to have taken upon themselves to serve before our young this kind of profanity and vulgarity? Oh, we're told this is necessary to prepare them for college. Well, I've been to college, and I didn't have to read out of the cesspool in order to be ready. And there are many others who are very prepared for college that haven't dipped into the moral sewer to get ready. Maybe they've got a course in college now that I'm not acquainted with. Maybe they've got a course that's called English Obscenities 101. It'll help get them ready for that. It won't prepare them for college. It'll prepare them for a life of sinfulness. That's all that sort of language can possibly prepare a person to do. My dear friend, the display of such blatant arrogancy and snobbishness by the defenders is quite notable, and I'm sure everybody in the community has recognized it. They have defamed the character and the intelligence of anybody that differs with them. We are told that all such decisions must be made only by those who are the elite educators. Everybody else, essentially, bug out. They have displayed and spoken in such fashion, in essence, give us your children, give us your money, we'll do as we please, and you keep your mouth shut because we're the only ones who know anything. There are two things that may come as a shock to you, or to some. Those of the educational system don't have a monopoly on wisdom. Our teachers and administrators and board members don't have a monopoly on intelligence. good sense, reasoning ability, or even education. It may come as a shock to you that if you don't agree with the acceptance of this kind of profane material, you are, and these are words of their description, you are stupid, you are a narrow-minded gossip, you are ignorant, you are crazy. Now, you're learning something about yourself tonight you didn't know. You're uneducated, you are a bigot, you are biased, you're non-progressive, you're anti-intellectual, you can't understand because you have an inferior intelligence, and you're trying to make Warren County a center of ignorance. Now, you didn't know that, but you know it now. And you know it's got to be so, because these elite know-it-alls have already declared it to be so. Who would dare question their wisdom in anything? I'm not impressed. I've been called worse things by better people. I'm not impressed. They're long on name-calling, but they're short on their facts. They're short on reality. They're almost totally void of logic. And I would just like to know where these self-appointed superior people, and they're superior because if you don't believe it, you ask them, they tell you. Where did they learn to equate maturity and profanity? You read in the paper, articles in the paper, they equate maturity with profanity. Where did they learn that? Where did they learn to equate vulgarity with good education? It just simply shows, dear friend, how far afield some are from even understanding their own educational profession. And it certainly shows how inconsiderate some are of others whose children they teach and supervise. Oh, but we're told we don't want censorship. I have talked with, this is a legal matter, this matter of censorship. I've talked with some of the most astute legal minds of this county about this particular matter, and this is nothing but a foolish scare tactic that is beneath the level of people who ought to know better. Every news media in the country will practice censorship morally and legally, because you cannot do and say just whatever you want to do and say. There are restrictions on your behavior. By the very fact that there is a law in our country against contributing to the delinquency of minors shows that nobody has the right to simply do and say whatever they want to, even when it comes to our young. There's one man of the medical profession who has said that he does not believe in any kind of censorship, and I don't believe he realizes what he said. I would believe that if you tomorrow went into his office, sat in his waiting room, and while waiting to see him, began to utter out loud the profanities in this book, he would try to put a stop to it. And if you began to pass out material that contained the low-life smut that you find in this book, he would have you run out of that office. And then when you submitted him the bill to pay for the printing of it, he would think you had lost your last marble. And yet that, in essence, is what we're being asked to do. You're a taxpayer. You're paying for these books. You're paying for these teachers. You're paying the salary of those on the board and in the administration. And you're being asked to pay for this and support this as they cram it down your throat. Friend, every television station, every newspaper, there is a restriction on what can be done. And I have personally challenged those who defend this book in places of authority. I have dared them. I said, I dare you to call either radio station. Both of them have talk shows. I dare you to identify yourself by name, and then I dare you to read out loud the material to which we're objecting. I dare you to do it. They're not getting ready to do it. I've talked to more than one person in the news media about this particular matter, and in our communication systems of this area, they would cut them off in a minute. Not only, they said, would it be morally objectionable, but it would be demanded by law that they did that. This idea of censorship, that's a scare tactic that has no validity whatsoever. Nobody has the right in our society, when it deals with other people, to just do anything they want to. I'll tell you what the defenders do want. They want censorship, all right. They want the censorship of those who resent and oppose the distribution of moral filth before their children at taxpayers' expense. They want you to keep your mouth shut, and they would close you out without saying a word if they could. Makes you wonder sometimes, when one person can object to having prayer in the schools and the whole nation throws it out, and now we are being forced to accept filth and immorality. It makes you wonder whether God-fearing people have any rights left anymore, doesn't it? Oh, but we're told it was accepted by a select committee. Friend, no committee is more reliable than the people that are on it. No committee of people is going to determine what is morally right and wrong. No person can approve profanity and perversion and vulgarity without sacrificing morality. I don't care if they go to 25 churches and they're most astute and outstanding citizens in the whole universe. And one board member told me, why, we even get letters in the newspaper from students who approve it. Well, look at this. Such wisdom I don't believe I can handle. We're turning the standards of our educational system over to some who are not even yet dry behind the ears, who have already been indoctrinated with the acceptance of this kind of stuff. And if I have ever seen apple polishing in my life, I've read it in the paper lately from some students, and there's an article in the paper today by a recent student. If there ever was someone that displayed an inability to comprehend what the issues are, he made a masterful job of it. And you don't count noses of some committee to determine what is moral and immoral. There's a higher standard that determines that. Oh, but we're also told it's been approved by certain religious leaders and theologians and various church members and clergymen. Well, I'm not at all surprised at that. I'm not at all surprised at that. So what? Religious leaders in this country by the handfuls show no respect for the Bible and they approve most anything. There is hardly any sort of perversion in this country that you won't find religious leaders supporting and endorsing and okaying in our society today. Some of the most venomous servants of the devil are cloaked in the garb of ordained clergymen. That doesn't cut any ice with people that are thinking. But I repeat again, it is a disgrace and an embarrassment to those of us of the churches of Christ that there have been anybody that would profess to be a Christian that has buried God's truth in order to accommodate a sinful world. One of the more blasphemous and ludicrous defenses has been stated that if you don't accept this book, you'd have to ban the Bible. I don't know whether you saw the editorial from the publisher of this book in today's newspaper or not. It is quite obvious that that writer does not care anything and have any respect for the Bible, nothing but contempt for it. It is equally obvious that he has nothing but contempt for the morals of this community, the values of this community, the standards of this community, the religions of this community, or God, or even education. He's selling books. And you know, my dear people, this reflects such an ignorance on the part of those who profess to have the superior intellect among us. The Bible is the most influential volume that has ever appeared upon the scene to influence our heritage, our culture, our values, our standards, our faith, our lives, our associations, our laws, our majestic literature, our art, more than anything else. And here comes someone along who says he is educated above everybody else and has superior intellect to everybody else, and he has no more knowledge of the direction of the Bible than that. This book reading and writing process is going in the opposite direction of the teaching of the Bible. That book approves and condones immorality and vulgarity and profanity. The Bible condemns it. The very idea, the audacity, the heady high-mindedness of those who think that everybody else is an ignoramus. To think that that which any man has written is no better or no worse than the inspired Word of God is the epitome of arrogance and rebellion against truth and decency. And I think we need to recognize the mentality, the way of thinking with which we're dealing. And to those who profess to be Christians, they need to read that article that the publisher put in the paper today and to see whose boat you're on. See who your comrade in arms is. See whose oars you're pulling with him at the helm. Just see who you've sided with and see if you're comfortable when you stand and sing, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." If you can do that, you have a conscience that's so seared that not even the double-edged sword of truth can penetrate. Oh, but we're told we've got to have separation of church and state. You know, it's amazing. Now, these people that are saying these things, they're not stupid. They're not lacking in intelligence. It's just that their arguments are stupid. Separation of church and state is not even the issue. People that understand the teaching, we learned that back in the elementary grades of civics. Separation of church and state simply means there's no state-supported church and there's no church-regulated and ruled state. It is not a prohibition of religion and morality in the thinking of society. And when you listen to these defenders of this kind of smut, when they say, we want separation of church and state, what they're really saying, we don't want to hear what religious and church people have to say about this. We are not interested in that. We object to that. You keep quiet. That's what they're trying to tell you. It's not an issue of separation of church and state anyhow. I'll tell you what it's an issue of. It's an issue of the separation of the home from the education of our children in the school. That's what they really want. It's an effort to separate morality from society. And what we're trying to separate is moral degradation from public education. Such a defense as that is unworthy of those who claim that they are the only ones who have all the wisdom. Now, the next argument that I mention, when I first heard it, I thought it was put forth as a joke. It is so absolutely absurd, I thought it was put forth as something facetious. But I learned that it has been put forth repeatedly, both in speech and in print, seriously. And the argument is, you can get this kind of stuff elsewhere. It's no worse than what you can see on television. Now, that is absolutely something that just blows the mind, as people sometimes say. Dear friend, is the moral slime that you can see on television to become the standard of our educational system? Some seem to think it could be all right. You can see it on TV. Let me ask you, some of you housewives that still fix dinner at your house, would you justify serving your family garbage at supper because they could get the same thing out at the dump? Now, that's how illogical it is. What's out at the dump is not the standard of what's to be served on the table. And what you see on television, certainly, with reasonable people, ought not be the standards by which you determine what is good education. What these defenders of this book really need is some education. They need some education in the course of common sense. They need the study of reasoning ability and good logic. Oh, but we're told, you're taking it out of context. You must read it in context. That's exactly the way we've read it. That's the reason we oppose it. It is an approval of sin and evil. That's the context in which these objectionable phrases are found, dear people. There is no justification for taking God's name in vain in profanity. There's no context that's going to justify sexual immorality as being acceptable. There's no context that you can put before old or young of vulgarity and crude sensuality. The only way that you can present this kind of material justifiably before anybody is to expose it and oppose it, never to present it in a way of approval. I'm ashamed of anybody that would even suggest read it in context as if there would be any shape, form, or fashion of approach to justify doing these abominable things, let alone to present it in the schools to the young, let alone to present it as education. I was told by one official, well, the objectionable portions were not assigned. Well, that's good, but that's not the issue, whether it was assigned or not. The objectionable portions are in a book that we all paid for, that was supplied to the student, given to them to take home, and they didn't have to have that kind of material or that kind of book to begin with. And I have asked, and I can't get an answer to this yet either. What's to keep this objectionable material from being assigned? It's in the book, they prove. What's to keep them from assigning it? Oh, so it won't be assigned. Oh, it won't? Are you sure? Can we rely upon the high standards of those who are defending the book to assure us that it's not going to be assigned? Can we rely upon the high standards of the publisher or the teachers or the board or the administration that says this book is fine and we can rest assured and be comforted that it'll never even be assigned? The book ought not even been assigned, dear people. Why serve good material from containers of moral slime? It is unworthy of good education. It is immoral, and it's totally unnecessary. Oh, we're supposed to be comforted now in the policy that you can, if you want to, ask for an alternative book. Why should we have to ask for an alternative book? Why should people have to ask not to be forced to drink the smut of this book? And even if there was an indication of the board to want to be fair about the matter, why not make it necessary for those who want the smut to have to request it rather than those who don't want it to have to ask to be relieved from it? You see, dear people, Fairness is a word that is not profane enough, evidently, for some of our society to understand. But this is somewhat of a clincher right here. In my discussion with a very outspoken member of the board, you will recall at the very beginning, I said this book contains material that many of us consider to be profane and vulgar, etc. He said that's just a matter of opinion. Morality is just a matter of opinion. I said, sir, do you mean to tell me that taking the name of God in vain and language that is the bumper sticker gutter language, that's just a matter of opinion? He said, your opinion is that it's profane. I don't agree with you. That's the kind of thinking you've got running your school system, people. That's the kind of thinking that's on your school board. That's the kind of thinking that is at present dominating what is being handed to students in this county. Morality is not determined by just a matter of equally valid opinions. If it is, I want to ask you, lying is a matter of morality? Is that just an opinion? Fornication is a matter of morality. Is that just an opinion? Murder and rape is just certainly matters of morality. Is that just opinion? Neither is profanity and vulgarity a matter of just mere opinion. And if it's just a matter of opinion, whose opinion are you going to accept? Would you accept the opinions of Adolf Hitler when he slaughtered 6 million Jews? That was his opinion. That was a moral matter. Would you accept tonight the opinions of Saddam Hussein, who thinks that he has a right to hold people against their will in captivity as hostages? That's his opinion. You've got another opinion, just a matter of opinion. Are you willing to accept that the ideas of the skinheads and the KKK are just valid opinions, different from yours, and one's just as good as another? It makes you wonder sometime what has happened to people's sense. And who gave our school people the right to serve whatever they want to our young? I'm inclined to ask you, people, who do they think they are? For I have not seen the evidence yet, nor read the decree where we are to dethrone God and replace Him with these self-appointed elite who say they're superior to everybody else intellectually. Maybe you've seen that evidence. I haven't seen it. Maybe you've read that. I've only heard it asserted. But I'm not ready to dethrone God and His will in behalf of these people. It's just simply a matter of man against God. That's what it is. It's a matter of filth instead of truth. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, the prophet wrote, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Thought came to me this afternoon. I'm sure glad these people in our school system are not in the sanitation department. They wouldn't know what to keep, what to throw in the dump. We'd really be in a mess, wouldn't we? These offenders, possibly they don't know the difference between right and wrong. Possibly they don't care. Possibly they have a mission in mind of undermining the moral principles of our nation, as humanists are determined to do in our society, and libertarians. And possibly some of them, of authority, have been scared and intimidated by the threat of lawsuits if they don't bow to the wishes of certain outspoken people. Whatever, they stubbornly persist in doing their own thing at your financial expense and with your children. Does that matter to you, my dear listener? Friend, the use and the defense of this book has hurt the reputation of Warren County. And I told the school board this publicly. I know that there are many in this school system that are very ashamed of what is taking place, and they've called me and told me that the continuation of this book is an insult to the intelligence and morality of the people of Warren County. Not long ago, I was in a nearby county, and in the conversation, a person overheard that I was from Warren County, and he made this comment, and I think I've got it in exact verbatim quote. "That's where they serve smut in the high school." Well, I threw out my chest and said, "Boy, aren't we educated?" No, I didn't either. I was embarrassed. I was defensive. I knew that that was not characteristic of so many honorable people in our school system. Unfortunately, it is characteristic of too many. But this kind of reputation against our county, I know who caused it, and I know how they caused it. And this strife is not going to go away. So long as there be those of an authoritarian dictatorial attitude that the school system assumes the right to place vulgarity and profanity before children, that's not going to go away. That's not education, and this issue won't go away. And so long as there remain in our county people of decency and of honor and clean speech who want good education and have respect for the Word of God, it won't go away. I've been told, well, why fight it? It's not going to do any good. You won't change it. Yeah, I don't know. A lot of people didn't think Truman was going to be elected either, but he was. I want to tell you something, dear people. Those who are in the classrooms, administration, and the board, they're not going to always be there. And truth is going to outlive all of us. And I want to tell you further, you may be right that it won't change anything and won't do any good as far as we're able to see. It may be that the morals of our county have declined to such a low level we'll accept anything anybody wants to pour out into our minds. But I know this, for the Christian, he had rather be right before God and lose than to be wrong before God and get his stubborn will before men. I know that I had rather fight for and stand for truth and lose in the sight of others than have to stand before God in judgment and confess that I have upheld material that profaned his holy name. Hadn't you? Now, I know what the role for the Christian is. It doesn't take a whole book full of verses to prove what the role of a Christian is. It's just that those who profess to be Christians have got to decide to whom does their real allegiance belong. But I close with this comment. I'd rather be considered an ignoramus by those who have declared themselves to be intellectually superior to us all than to show myself a fool by defying God's word and profaning the name of the true and living God of heaven. Hadn't you? Some say it won't do any good. You know, if you're going to measure that on the basis of response, Christ wasted his time too, didn't he? John the Baptist, in preaching to Herod, how foolish. He even lost his head over it. Didn't do any good. Let me tell you, you always do good when you stand for truth. You always do good when you oppose error, regardless of any other consequence that may come. If those who believe in things of decency and purity don't begin to stand up, speak out, and be heard, we're going to surrender the next generation to the devil without a fight. Therefore, we are not to just twiddle our thumbs and sit on our hands and pretend all is well when it is far from that. If you're here tonight and not a Christian, the Bible teaches how one becomes a child of God. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and will repent of your sins. Do like the Bible teaches, to come and confess your faith in Christ and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins and to be added to that company of the saved that the Bible identifies as the church. And then you live loyal and faithful as a disciple of Christ. You have God's own assurance that heaven will be your home.